Morning, church family. Good to see you this morning. You know, I want to do something real quickly before I go any further. I have some gifts for your pastor, and I know I don't want to take any of his time tonight because he's going to be sharing the great news of his visit over in Africa. What's that? What are you grinning about? What happened? Oh, yes. Yeah, well, we're getting to it, brother. They don't give him very much around here, do they, boy? But we'll be with you tonight as well. People say, well, you're not even speaking tonight. What you coming for? We enjoy the fellowship here. We enjoy your pastor. And we've always had a great, great heart for missions. We've invested heavily as a family for decades into missions. And it is the heartbeat of the local church. And we love the lost because Jesus loves the lost. Amen. And so a few things we've got. First of all, Pastor, I want to gift you the message. How did we meet? Vancouver, British Columbia. Pastor Getty is where we met for the first time. And this was the message I preached. And I want to gift you that message called Dealing with Bitterness. And something I'm going to mention is for every family that comes tonight, we're going to gift you the same message. It is a life-changing message. Pastor Kenny Grant calls it my R.G. Lee Payday Someday message, all right? But one of the biggest struggles we'll ever have in life is dealing with bitterness. People let us down. Life lets us down. Family lets us down. Sometimes it seems as if God let us down. And this message will help deal with that enemy called bitterness. And if you come tonight as a family, that my wife will have them at the door. As you come in, we're going to gift you, your family, one of those messages to take home. It is a life-changing message. Also want to gift the new movie we have on the car, the Marine Corps vet, now renamed the Military Vet, as well as the 2 GB ammo thumb drive, preacher. All right, I want to give you both of these. These are two gifts we give our military. We have a care package program to the troops, and these are two of the favorites that go all the way overseas, and that's a thumb drive. Now, if you don't know how to... It's a bullet. It's ammo.
Yeah.
Amen? People say, what's that mean? Well, listen, ammunition's worth nothing unless it's sent downrange. But this bullet has gospel ammo. 5 of my sermons, 20 of my children's songs, dramatized audio of the book of John, downloadable. Screensaver photos of America with King James scripture verses. Entire Bible, PDF, and 5 clips from the Marine Corps vet, the Military Vet DVD. 2 GB of ammo. Here's the deal. We send that downrange and fire for effect. Hope it gets into the hearts and lives of our servicemen and servicewomen. We might see them saved. I've received correspondence. People's lives changed. And so, Pastor, 2 more items right there. And then I want to gift you the sign frame photo. You got the old car photo. This is the new car photo. Pastor Ware and church family, thank you for your service to our King. Semper Fi. Semper Fidelis, Marine Corps lingo, for always faithful. And I've signed it. We just appreciate you having us, brother.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
Take your Bibles this morning, go to Proverbs 23, the 23rd proverb, and once you find your place, if you're able to stand comfortably, stand with me, and I know that you have it. Proverbs 23, once you find that spot, go ahead and stand, if you're able to, comfortably. In Proverbs 23, a very unique thought I have for you this morning. It's been a thought that's echoed in my heart for many, many years, and from time to time I reach for it. I had other thoughts planned, but the Spirit of God wouldn't let me go on this one, and so I want to give it to you this morning. But notice in Proverbs 23, beginning in verse number 22, we see a command from the Lord. In Proverbs 23, in verse 22, he says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Now look at this interesting command in verse 23. He says, "Buy the truth." Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. In the year 2000, our family got on the road. 6 children, my wife and I. And as I mentioned before in a message a long time ago, a little mascot named Patches, an Australian shepherd, was my oldest daughter's dog. And our six children became an incredible singing group. They've sung in this church on a number of occasions over the years. Tight four-part harmonies. There's just something about siblings. They blend. Their voices work so well together. And many of their songs had the flavor of your choir songs this morning. They lift your heart and they exalt the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. But as time came along and we come back to churches, they begin to get a time-lapse photograph of our family. The little singing group was getting taller. Their voices were getting deeper, richer. Their skills were going forward. And then came the sad day, there became holes in that group. They began to miss as they headed to college and someone went on and got married. Then came the sad, sad day, they were all gone. And now as I travel, I still get this question across America. Coming back to churches they sang and I ministered in, I hear people ask me, how are your children doing? And I know the context of the question. They're not asking how they're doing physically. Their question isn't even really how are they doing emotionally. They're asking a question based on what they saw my children represent and who they represented. They're asking, how are your children doing spiritually? It's a fair question. I think every one of us as parents ought to be willing to give an honest answer to that question. And I thought, what would be the honest answer? I know my six children, and I know them well. Some of them, thankfully, are like their mother, but some are like their father. This became my answer. And my answer will be your message that I'll preach with the Lord's help this morning. I said in some areas they're doing better than Deb and I did. In other areas spiritually, they're not doing quite as well. But for the most part, there were a lot of truths that they were renting that they decided to buy. And the message I have for you this morning, it's a question in regards to truth. It's a question, and the question is this. Do you rent or do you own? Do you rent or do you own? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to be in your house and with your people. Thank you, Father, for the honor to call you Father, to know your Son as Savior, how our hearts are warmed in the song service, every song, every melody, choir specials. Thank you for the new song you put in our heart the day you saved us. Thank you that our soul reverberates and echoes the praises of your name and your Son. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name you'd bless this time. And Lord, as the thought goes forth, may your Holy Spirit apply it to the hearts of each hearer. I pray for the one, Lord, that isn't even saved. They've never bought into the truth that Jesus saves. I pray this morning would be the day they just drop the reins and they trust your Son as their Savior. And then, Lord, for the Christian that may be following afar off, though saved, belonging to you, they've never really brought into the truth that Jesus is worth serving. I pray this morning you tug their heart, you deal with them, help them to become owners of that wonderful truth. Bless today. I pray you cleanse me of any sin that could possibly hinder the service. May your Son be exalted and receive the glory. Challenge our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Buy the truth, Proverbs 23:23 says, and goes on to say this, and sell it not. We're going to look at four things. If you want to outline our text, it's a very easy to outline text. But the first thing I want to consider with you this morning is the commodity. The commodity. What it is that God wants you and God wants me to pursue. Second of all, I want to consider the command. The command we find in Proverbs 23. What we're to do, if you will, with the commodity once we find it. Then thirdly, I want to consider the cry. I want to look at the cry that arises when someone buys into the truth. And then fourthly, the condition required to own. Let's look at the commodity very quickly. What is the commodity that you and I are supposed to pursue? Notice what's said in verse 23. The Lord says, buy the truth and sell it not. And then he adds to it wisdom and instruction and understanding. Do you know this morning, according to your Bible and according to the heart of your God, the number one commodity that he wants you to pursue is truth. He wants you to chase truth, not error. He wants you to chase truth, not lies. Pilate sneered when he was dealing with Christ. He sneered at the existence of truth when he asked Jesus the question, what is truth? I'm not really sure the context of the question. Maybe his was the snarl of animosity, some powerful leader being queried by some peasant Jew. Maybe his question was, who are you to ask me what truth is? But maybe his question was a sigh of weariness. A politician that had heard it all and seen it all, probably maybe in a dismissive tone, he said, what's truth? Who cares? But regardless of how he asked the question, Jesus had already answered that question a few chapters earlier. Speaking of himself in John 14, 6, Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You looking for truth this morning? Let me tell you, the very first place you're going to find truth is in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. I want to say clearly, there is no truth in Allah. I want to make that clear. There's not truth in Buddha this morning. There is only truth, all truth, to be found in the person of Jesus Christ. And be careful here. He's not a way to the truth. He is truth. Everything about him is truth. He is truth personified. Jesus said, you want to find truth? Look at me. You want to know truth? Come to me. I am truth. But he also noted a second place to find it. For a few chapters later, he said this as he's praying to the Father for his disciples. Here was his prayer request. He said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth in John 17, 17. And then he added these words, thy word is truth. You're looking for truth today? It's to be found, first of all, in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. But second of all, it is found in the pages of a book called the Bible. Amen? This is a very relevant book for today. It's alive and it's truth. It's not a way to truth. Thy word is truth. And let me say, we're living in a nation today where people say, well, I just can't find out the truth. I don't know what the truth is. I don't know where to go to find truth. Could I say truth is never hard to find if you know where to look for it? I remember the humorous illustration one time told of a man late at night under a street light in a quiet little suburban community, and he's down on all fours looking for something. A passerby comes along and watches him for a bit and decides, well, I've got a little time, I think I'll help him out. And so he got down with him and he began to scour that intersection of the street. And finally, after a while, he said, by the way, he said, I forgot to ask you, what exactly are we looking for? And the guy said, well, we're looking for my wallet. You know, it's about so big, it's brown, it's thick, you know, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for my wallet. He said, well, where did you lose it? When did you? He said, you know, I noticed it missing about an hour ago when I came out of that dark alley I was walking through. And the guy said, well, if you noticed it was missing there, what are you doing here? He said, well, it's the only place I can see. It's the only place with light, so I figured I'd go ahead and look here. He can look there all he wants. He's not going to find the wallet because that's not where it's to be found. Amen. And I want to say this morning, I watch Americans look for truth in all the wrong places. I'd be honest with you this morning, you go turn on your television and get into the news, you probably ain't going to find a whole bunch of truth there. Amen? You guys, you got your football games, and I'm a football nut. I love it as much. But I'm going to tell you, staring at football games and keeping track of the NCAA brackets with basketball, you can get into ESPN Sports. I'm going to just tell you right now, you are not going to find truth there. Could I say to our young generation, you ain't going to find truth on the phone, all right? Y'all with me? And you're probably not going to find it on Facebook. You want to find truth that'll change your life? You want to find truth that'll make a difference in your heart? You want to find truth that'll make a difference in your family? You got to go to the book and you got to look to Jesus Christ. That's where truth is to be found. And you say, well, my life is all messed up. Lies are my refuge. I can't figure out what's right or wrong. It's because you're looking for truth in all the wrong places. You ain't even going to find truth in your heart. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked, and you don't even know your own heart. You see, the problem isn't that there isn't truth. The problem is you're not looking for it in the right place. Amen? The commodity is truth. But could I say this morning, wisdom and truth have competition today, don't they? I mean, you and I walk out of this facility this morning, we walk out of this auditorium, we're going to go out into America. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to look at that place out there for what it really is. Most of us say, oh, America, it's an entertainment zone. America, we're blessed, we got food on the table. Oh, that's a fun place to go as America, get out there and enjoy what America has to offer. Let me tell you spiritually what is out there. What you need to look at it as is this. It's a vendor's bazaar with booths set up everywhere hawking ideas and wares. No pun intended. I didn't even plan that one. How many of you have ever been to a fair where all the you make the turn and you go to the vendors area? You ever been there? And you tried to figure out how to get out of there? You ever walk the gauntlet? They're on both sides. This is how it goes. This is their whole attitude. Hey, look what I've got. Come over here. I've got what you need. I've got what you want. You cannot live without what I have. And then over here somebody's, no, you don't want what he has. You look what I've got. And they're hawking and they're promoting and they're trying to get you to turn aside and buy into what they have. And the Lord says in life, there's a lot of vendors. There's a lot of hawkers. There's a lot of ideas and philosophies being promoted. And the Lord says, when you get into all that, he said, I want you to turn aside to the booth of truth. I want you to turn aside to what I offer, which is truth. The commodity today is truth. The commodity day is truth, and it's to be found in a person and the pages of a book, Jesus Christ and His Word. But notice the command. Go back to our text here. Don't miss this. For in Proverbs 23, though the commodity is truth this morning, with that commodity, the Holy Spirit of God gives a command. Watch this. He says in verse 23 of Proverbs 23, he says, buy the truth. Isn't that an interesting command? Notice he does not say borrow the truth. I noticed as I looked at it, he doesn't say rent the truth. Do you see that? I don't even see him say try the truth. He says buy it. Now I'm going to make a bold statement. Some of you, you're going to just kind of curl up and go, I don't know about that. When I explain it, you'll understand. Truth is never free. Truth is never free. See, some of you, your gears are turning here. Let me explain. You never walk past the booth of truth and all of a sudden, oh, jumps out and there it's yours. How'd that happen? No. When you buy something, there has to be an exchange of commodities. Truth is never free. It'll cost you something to make it yours. You look at those wise men in Matthew chapter 2. Their search for truth was not cost free. Every Christmas, they remind us of the search for truth. They left a distant land. They traveled for months, if not years. They went far out of their way. They invested large sums of money. Some of them had probably spent over 10, 15, 20 years going through the libraries of the books of the kings. They were the vestiges of Daniel's influence in heathen courts. And their search for Jesus Christ was not cost-free. They invested large amounts of time to settle that search. They went far out of their way to find him. They invested large sums of money. And they are an indictment on every American today in America. Surrounded by truth, they won't even go across town to a church to hear about Jesus. They won't even open a Bible and read the pages. I know people right now that have never yielded to truth because they're too proud to admit they're wrong. They will not cash in their pride to admit God's right and they're wrong. And truth never becomes theirs, though it could have been. Amen? I know people so full of themselves and entertainment, they can't set aside CNN Sports for 5 minutes to consider, does Jesus save and do I need him? And though truth is available, it never becomes theirs. I'm trying to tell you something this morning. Truth is never free if you want to make it yours. You're going to have to trade out something to make it yours. Truth is never free. The commodity is truth and the command is buy it. And I want you to say this morning, there's two truths, and I'll just tap them and we'll be done, that I believe are worth buying into. Number one truth this morning is this, Jesus saves. Amen? I believe that's a truth worth making mine. I don't think that's a truth that's good enough just to be your truth. I want it to be my truth. Amen? And if I'm here this morning and he is my Savior, I'm not happy. I want you to buy into the fact he needs to be your Savior too. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be, say it, saved. I have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I believe this morning, that's a truth you ought to buy into if you're not saved. It's not good enough that he's my Savior. He needs to be your Savior. Amen? Years ago, I got a phone call. I was in Texas, and we were doing our missions, home missions conference. I was one of the speakers at our home church. I got a call from a guy named Tom Whitmire. Tom was one of five brothers who were Alaskan men. They ran moose skinning operations. They were truck drivers up and down the haul road. Tom and his four brothers, I mean, they were men's men. And Tom was the first one that got saved out of the family. Through the ministry of Doug Duff at Bible Baptist Church, Tom Whitmire and his wife Kathy got saved. When they moved to Wasilla, my wife and I discipled them at our kitchen table for a year and a half, and they became close friends of ours. I was in Texas on conference at a conference, and Tom calls me. And he said, Brother Dave, he said, you're in Texas. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, Kathy and I are in Texas, too, and I'm wondering if you could do me a favor. I said, what? He said, I got a brother named Dan who's dying of cancer. He's over in Davy Crockett National Forest in a fifth wheel, and I'm wondering, could you come over and share the gospel with him one day this week? I'd like to see him get saved. Promised him we would, and we did, and my wife and I traveled 4.5 hours one way to get there. We spent about 2 hours with Dan and his wife. I'll never forget when we got there, before we went to see Dan, all the family had gathered in a home about 5 minutes, 10 minutes from where Dan was. All the brothers and their spouses had come in. And as I came in, Tom said, let me introduce you to all my brothers here. We'll see Dan in a bit. And he began to introduce me to all the brothers. And one brother stood out in my radar. His name was Dub. Dub was a combat veteran from Vietnam. He was in a wheelchair. And as I shook his hand, there's just a little connect there, a veteran to a veteran. We just kind of connected for a moment. A lot of bitterness etched in Dub's face. I remember that. And then Tom turned to the boys and said, hey, you pray for us. Brother Dave's going to show Dan how to be saved, how to make peace with God before he dies. We'll be back to let you know what happened. I went over to see Dan, spent an hour and a half, 2 hours with him. At the end of that whole deal, I watched him turn, bow his heart to the Lord, and trust him as Savior. He didn't have a Bible, so I gifted him my personal soul winner's Bible. Found out he died just a couple months later. The widow sent me the Bible back for Christmas and said, thank you. He said he was in the hospital, the VA hospital, and he was just on the edge of death, and a Catholic priest came by to give him last rites, and he shooed him off. He said, I don't need that. He said, I settled this 2 months ago. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're not sure Jesus is enough, you're going to grab every little frock that goes by on your deathbed. But he had trusted Christ alone by faith alone. Jesus was all he needed and he knew it. But this is what I want to share. We come back from that meeting and Tom was floating. Oh, Dan had gotten saved, man. He was just so happy. Another one of his brothers was heading home, you know. And as we came back into the house, everybody turned in the house like, well, what happened? And I'll never forget, Tom said, Dan got saved. Dan got it settled. And they all shouted, oh, we're glad to hear that. We're glad to hear that. Hands went up, even Dubs. And then Tom, I know he was emboldened, he turned to Dub, and this is what he said, Dub, why don't you let Brother Dave show you what he showed Dan so you can be saved too? And the same man that said, oh, I'm glad Dan got it settled. Oh, I'm glad. His hands were up. A smile etched his face. He put his hands down. He said, no. You stay away from me. That's good for Dan. But I don't want him. 6 months later, he chambered it and took his own life. You know, when I went to tell Dan Jesus saves, Dub never stopped me. Dub encouraged me. He never got mad that his brother got saved. He was for all of that. But when it came to him, he said no. I'm going to tell you something about Dub. And I don't know where he, I don't know if he got saved. I don't have any idea. It's not for me to say. But here's what I know about Dub. He was for the Lord. But at that time, he wasn't with him. Yeah, I believe some of you here today are for the Lord. You're not going to tell me not to believe in him. You're not going to tell your kids not to believe in him, but you haven't. You're for him, but you're not with him. You're for the fact that Jesus saves, but you're not saved. You're for the gospel going out. You see that as being good, but you're not for the gospel coming in your heart. You're for the Lord. You're not with him. You're a renter. Not an owner. I believe this morning that salvation is a truth worth buying into. Jesus saves. But let me close with this. I believe the other truth you ought to buy into is Jesus is worth serving. Amen? Let me tell you, as I travel America, we are a nation that honors God with our lips. But our heart is so far from him. You know, we got our little routine figured out. But I'm going to tell you, Christian, there's a lot of stuff you're renting that God wants you to buy. You with me? I will guarantee you here today, there are Christians that say, you know what? I know that serving God involves Bible reading in my life. I know the book is true. I know this is where I ought to be. But you're not there. You're renting, but you're not owning. Amen? I go out on visitation, and we do this all the time. We'll knock doors, we'll go out. Have you ever been in that moment, those of you that are out representing the Lord, where somebody, as you tap on their door, they find out who you are, and they say, oh, we are so glad you are out here. The cults are here all the time. It's so great to see a Bible believer out here presenting the truth. You know, I used to bask in that, but you know what I do now? Hey, church is coming out again next week. How about you join us? And the same guy that was my cheerleader Rick'em, rack'em, fire, crack'em, sis, boom, bah. Get him, preacher, rah, rah, rah. You know what he does? He throws his hands in the air and he says, oh, no, 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 not me. Concerning being a witness for the Lord, he's a renter, not an owner. You come tonight and watch this missions program. You watch what happened over in Africa. And let me tell you something. If you're not given to missions and you're a member of this church, you're not telling others not to give. You're not telling others not to go. But you know what's really sick? You're not involved yourself. In the area of missions and serving God, you're a renter, not an owner. Y'all with me? Say, oh, preacher, man, why are you so tough? I'm trying to make your pastor look nice. But I'm telling you the truth. There is so much we, as even believers, we rent, but we do not own. We don't argue with the truth. We agree with it. We even repeat it. Whoa, man, that's a good truth. They needed it. We see its value. We do not outright reject it, but through apathy and indifference, it never gets in our life. It never changes our life. It never becomes a part of life because we rent it, but we do not own it. Some of you are lost this morning because you just rented the truth Jesus saved. You never bought into it. But some of you don't know the joy of serving him because you just rented the truth that Jesus is worth saving, but you've never really brought into it. As I close, watch this. In Proverbs 23, look at what he says. In verse 23, he says, buy the truth and sell it not. And also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Look at the cry that rises when somebody buys into the truth. It's a cry of rejoicing. It's a cry of joy. It's not a cry of regret. How many of you regret getting saved? Raise your hand. That's... But I'll tell you, I meet thousands every year that wish they'd gotten saved sooner. They'd regretted they put it off. Amen? And how many of you, after you decided, man, I'm going to chase God with all my heart and get involved in missions, and I'm going to start getting involved in ministry, how many of you regret that? I know there's tough times. Don't get me wrong. That's what the whole message on bitterness is all about. But I have no regrets for serving the Lord. I have great regrets for serving sin and self. You see, the cry that arises when someone buys into truth is rejoicing, not regret. But notice the condition required. I close with this. What is required to own? The condition required to own. Look at verse 26. My son, give me thine heart. Oh. You know what I've said? I've written it here in a little page of my Bible. You rent with your head. You buy with your heart. You rent with your head. You say, oh yeah, that's true. Oh yeah. Yeah, I see it. I see it. But you buy with your heart. Whew. Amen. A couple years ago, my wife was at a home, friends of ours. She's starting to speak out at ladies' meetings now. And let me tell you something about Deb. You do not raise 6 children, 7 grandchildren, and a husband like me effectively unless you got something about you. She's been a gritty, gracious help to a lot of ladies. But here it was. She came back and shared with me. Here I am. It's Monday night. I'm at the family's house. And what their Monday night routine was as a family was to review Sunday's messages, to pick one, review it, and open for them and say, how did that affect you and what did you like about it? Well, it just so happened the Sunday message that they brought up for consideration was entitled, Giving God the Garbage. And what it was speaking of, the preacher the day before was how God gets second best. He doesn't get, you know, you give him the leftover time, you know, I use my, then he gets the leftover. Now give him the leftover treasure. Once I do all I want to do with my money, then he'll get, you know, if there's something left, he gets. And it was called giving God the garbage. Not giving him your best. And so as they went around the table, they would ask the question, what did you get out of that message last night? And it came to my wife's turn, and this is what she said. Well, I realized I wasn't giving God my best in some areas of my life. And so this morning, I got up 30 minutes earlier than usual. I read 7 extra chapters in my Bible. I spent some time in prayer, and I focused on how to be a blessing to others. Upon immediately which the young lady who was asking her the question said, no, 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 no. What were the key verses and points that you liked? To which my wife with a little smile responded, to me that was the key and that was the point. James says, be not hearers only. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Because you're deceiving yourselves. Some of you this morning, could I say it again? Jesus saves. Jesus can save you, but you got to come to him to be saved. Amen. I can't do that for you. You got to do that for you. And some of you that are saved, there's areas of your life. God says, why don't you quit just repeating a truth that you don't live? Why don't you, in that area you know is right, why don't you drop the reins and surrender to me? Become an owner. Don't be content to just be a renter. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. My son, give me thine heart. As it pertains to truth this morning and your need for truth, dads, teenagers, young people, moms, whatever truth right now the Spirit of God is presenting you, salvation, service, ministry, how long are you going to rent that thing? It won't do you any good till you own it. Buy into that truth today, please. Yield your heart to him. Let's stand and commit these thoughts this morning as heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you.